Brothers, come closer, please. Jazakumullah.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون صدق الله العلي العظيم. My respected ulama, elders, brothers, young ones in Islam, this is the last ruku of Surah Hashr, and in this ayat it's very famous, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. You all know this ayat. So it comes in a hadith of Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام that every morning and evening, whoever reads three times, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. Not أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We add أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم three times. And then you read هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو, that whole three verses in the morning and the evening. So a person who does so, then Allah Ta'ala will appoint 70,000 angels يصلون له, will make dua for him from the morning till the evening. If he passes away in that day, he will pass away as a martyr. And in the night time also, 70,000 angels will make dua for him until the morning. And if he passes away in the night, he'll pass away as a martyr. So simple. It'll take half a minute. But if a person just reads it, Hazrat Mullah Umar Sahib Paranpuri, rahmatullah alayhi, one day in one ishtima, he said, I don't have my breakfast in the morning until I don't put 70,000 angels to make dua for me. Once I got the angels making dua, then I have my breakfast. So I'm not going to leave my house. I need the du'as of the angels, they must protect me. So simple actions. And ulama have mentioned beautifully, subhanAllah. They say the a'mal and the actions of akhirat is very, very simple, small. But the benefits are extreme. And things of this world, you have to make so much of effort. And it's so small you get back returns. For example, if I read 10 times Qul Huwallahu Ahad, one palace is built for me in Jannat. How long it took to read Qul Huwallahu 10 times? 1 minute. So I read 10 times. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was surprised. Oh, Nabi of Allah, 10 times and getting such a great thing. Palace in Jannat. We'll read a lot of Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Nabi said, Allah will give much more than. He couldn't understand 10 times. In this world, you want a small house here in the UK, how expensive it is. How many hundred thousands? It takes you 20 years to pay it off. And then you get the house and you live in there for 20 years. And then you pass away, you leave. So much of effort to get one small property. And the matters of Akhirat, small efforts. And the prophets are extremely great. But there's an examination Allah has placed in this world to see who believes, who's got yaqeen in the akhirat, in the year after. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. So we try to practice upon this. I will just give a small tafsir of this 2-3 ayat, just before Surah Hashr, the meaning of it. And Allah give us tawfiq to practice, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala says, إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنْسَانِ اكْفُرْ. Remember, shaitan is your enemy. And he's going to make a great effort on man. And his greatest effort is to take a person out of iman into kufr and disbelief. But he's very clever. He doesn't do it immediately. He does it very subtly. And nobody can have guarantee on his iman and on himself. And nobody must ever trust himself, because no one has got guarantee in life. How shaitan deceives a person. So Allah has given you, shaitan is going to tell a person, become a kafir. Lose your iman. فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ. When a man loses his iman, then shaitan says, إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ. I'm free from you. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he's such a pious person, suddenly he says, I fear Allah. He leaves you in the lurch. فَكَانَ أَقِبَتَهُمَا. The final result, أَنَّهُمَا فِي النَّارِ. Both of them will be in the fire of Jahannam, خَالِدَيْنِ فِيهَا. They will live there forever and forever. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الظَّالِمِينَ. That is the reward, the recompense of those who have done oppressed themselves. So the ulama of tafsir have mentioned one amazing story here, one incident here which happened, just to show how shaitan attacks a person and how we have to be so wary about ourselves, and especially in today's times. So there was a very pious person by the name of Barsisa. He was a monk in the past eras. Very pious person, always engaged in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one day all the shaitans had a mashwara and consultation. And the big shaitan asked them that who's going to mislead this man here? So one shaitan said, I'm going to mislead this man. I'll take the effort. So anyhow, they said, okay, try and see what you can do. So anyhow, this shaitan, he went, he came and he saw Barsisa. Barsisa was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never used to go out of his monastery, all the time engaged in the worship of Allah ta'ala. So shaitan came there. He tried to talk to him. He didn't want to speak to him. So shaitan stood outside his monastery and he started making ibadat. And for 1 year, he continued ibadat. 1 year. So Barsisa used to finish his ibadat, go eat a little bit, come back. And he's noticing this man, 1 year, he's standing in ibadat. So after 1 year, now he's respect and honor for shaitan. For he didn't know shaitan, but this man, such a pious person. So he told him, please come inside my hut. He said, no, I'm worshipping Allah. He said, no, please, I want to stay in your sohbat, in your company. I want to benefit from you. So then shaitan said, okay, no, I'll come and stay with you, but I have to go worship Allah in other places also in the whole world. I'm traveling everywhere. So he came for another year. He stayed there. Now Barsisa had full trust in this man. So shaitan was about to leave. He said, you know what? I'm leaving, but I'm going to give you one certain medication. If shaitan ever attacks you or any person, you just read the certain wazifas and duas and shaitan will leave you. He won't affect you. He said, I don't need to learn it. No, learn it. It's very important. You'll get a lot of benefit. So anyhow, shaitan taught him this year. And then shaitan went away. He went to the town. And after some while, he started affecting people. So now people were getting sick. So they didn't know what must do. So he whispered in the eyes or ears of some people that Barsisa is a big buzruk. He knows the cure for it. Go and ask him. So the one person went to him, said, I got the sickness. But hey, I remember this wazifa I got. So he read for that person, he came right. Another person came. Now everyone is coming right, so they're only coming to Barsisa to get the cure. There's no problem. There was one very wealthy family in the town and a very beautiful girl living there. So shaitan went and attacked her. So now she also needed treatment, so she also came to Barsisa. So he read and he blew and she came right. She went back home. It happened a second time. Again, she came right. Now she had three brothers living with her. So they were going on a journey somewhere far. So they thought to themselves that, what are we going to do with our sister? What happens if she gets sick again? And the only person we can cure is Barsisa. So let's ask Barsisa if he'll look after her. So they went to Barsisa. He said, impossible. She's a ghair mahram. She's a woman who is a stranger. How can I stay with her? How can I be alone with her? Impossible. I'll never allow this. But they insisted and they forced the issue. They said, look here, you don't stay here together with her. We'll build another house for her. She stays in that area. You stay in your place. And just keep an eye. If she ever gets sick, then at least you can administer a medication for her. So anyhow, he eventually agreed. He said, no, not a problem. So now, he was in his place and she was her there in her. And he was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he used to take food for her every day, make some food, go and leave it outside there. And continue like this. And she used to eat her food. And they're waiting for the brothers. They went out for 1 year or whatever. They'll come back. After a few months, after a short while, one day he noticed the food never come. She never eat the food. So he was a bit worried. Second day, no food, the food is not taken. And said, so he knocked, he asked. She said, I'm not feeling well. So he said, oh, okay, let me just come and read a wazifa or whatever and you'll come right. So shaitan went away. Then shaitan is affecting her. Now he runs away. So when he saw her beauty, he was affected. Then he went back. But now it was troubling him. And then shaitan came to him and told him that, you know, you're such a pious worshipper, but you're not making targheeb and encouraging this woman. She's staying far away from deen. Why don't you give her some encouragement? Speak to her about deen. So he went outside the door. He used to give her some encouragement. Now she's also started worshipping Allah. She's getting more shock and desire. And now every day he's spending more and more time discussing with her about deen and speaking to her about Islam. And she's getting affected. But now now he's talking to her more also, spending more time. In this way, slowly, shaitan is working. It doesn't work one time, but slowly. Then eventually another time she fell sick. So again, Barsisa went inside and he sees her now and some portion of her body became exposed and he fell into the trap. And Allah has placed desires in every person and nobody can trust himself that me, I'm so pious, I'll never fall. Our buzruks, our elders say, they reach the age of 80 and they said, I don't trust myself. Even at the age of 80, I can't trust myself. A person knows a woman comes in front of him. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah, he says, when a woman walks in front of a man, and a pretty woman, he loses 2/3 of his brains. His aql is, he can't think properly. Dhahaba thulutha aqlihi, 2/3 of his aql goes away. He can't think properly. So nobody can, I'm a very pious person, I can't fall into this. Allah protect and save all of us. So anyhow, he fell into that trap. And now he started spending time with her, and she fell pregnant. Subhanallah, now what he must do? Then shaitan came to him. So anyhow, he said, you know what, shaitan said, when my brother's going to come back, you're going to be finished. They're going to kill you, they're going to be very upset with you. The easy thing is that, so actually it was more than a year, because she gave birth, so now the child was born. So Barasisa told him, shaitan told him, you better kill this child. So he took the child from the mother, he killed the child. Then shaitan said, you think this woman is going to keep quiet? Then you kill her child, you think she'll never tell her brothers. He said, I have to get rid of her, so he killed her. Anyhow, he buried her, and then he went back to his worship. Brothers came back, he told them, you know what happened, your sister passed away, she got sick. So they accepted it, they went away back home. But that night, shaitan comes in their dreams. He comes in the first brother's dream, second brother's dream, third brother's dream. And he said, you know what, Barasisa, not just happened like that, he killed your sister. And go and dig up in a certain place, you'll find her body there, and you can check it up. So anyhow, the next morning, they're having a discussion. I had a very funny dream. Second one, I had a funny dream. They say, dreams are dreams, don't worry. The third one said, no, let's go and check up on this. They went and they dug up the grave, and they find the baby there. And they find the sister, and she has been murdered. So they go to the king of the time, and the king calls this Barasisa, and he's brought to the gallows. And he's told that he has to be given a death sentence now because you murdered somebody. And then shaitan comes to that person. Now remember, because slowly, he was a pious person, but that evil and that sins, he had become desensitized, his iman had come right down. And now shaitan comes to him, and shaitan tells him, you know what, you want me? You remember me, I'm that pious person who was with you. He comes in that form. See, you want help and assistance, I can assist you. See, what you do, just make sajda to me, and I'll help and assist you, I'll get you out of this situation. So he gets very happy, and he goes and he makes sajda in front of shaitan, but they're just about to cut his head off. And when he makes sajda, and that time the man just cuts his head off. So it's called shaitan al-insani kufur. Shaitan says to man, become a kafir. Falamma kafara, when he becomes a kafir, he says, inni bari'um minka, I'm free from you. I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he runs away from a person. So this is how shaitan deceives a person in life. Today, especially in today's time with a woman. How many of us get involved? A cell phone, one picture a person sends, one message a woman sends to a person. Nobody can trust himself. That maybe, I'm very pious. I won't fall for it. I know my limits. There's no limits. What they say, where the mud is thick, even an elephant can slip. Nobody can ever trust himself. So Allah is warning us in this ayat, be very, very careful. Shaitan is your enemy. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullah alayhi, is passing away, he's leaving this world. And he's like in Sakarat, in the last moments of his life. So people are saying, read kalima la ilaha illallah. He said, la ba'du, not as yet. So when he came, he got his word of consciousness. So they asked him, you're saying not as yet, what do you mean by this here? Like, we're asking you to read kalima, you're saying not as yet. He said, no, shaitan came to me and shaitan told me that, oh, Ahmad bin Hanbal, you saved yourself from me, you got Jannat. I said, no, not as yet. As long as one breath left in my body, as long as I can breathe, my life doesn't go out with iman, I don't trust you, and I don't trust myself. When I leave this world safety with iman, then only I'll be happy. So after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this, then Allah said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, oh my friends, Allah, all the people of iman are the friends of Allah. Allah loves us. And about 80 places in the Quran, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, oh people of iman. Oh my friends, Allah waliyul ladhina amanu. Allah is the friends of the people of iman. So Allah says, my friends, I'm not happy with a small friendship. I want strong friendship. Don't become the friend of shaitan. Become my friend. Ittaqullah. Taqwa means the friendship of Allah. Become the friend of Allah. Build up your relationship and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this ayat, Allah mentions it 2 times. How will a person build up his relationship with Allah ta'ala? So you do good actions, that's taqwa. And you stay away from evil, that's taqwa. But now, how will a person reach that level? So subhanAllah, in this ayat, Allah has given us a solution for it. What's the solution? So the first thing, ittaqullah, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring good actions in your life. But how will I bring good actions in my life? I'm very weak, my fajr salat, I'm very weak. I can't spend money in the path of Allah. I'm lazy to do good actions. So Allah has given the solution. Wal tanzur nafsum ma qaddamat li ghad. Every person must ponder and think, what has he sent forward for tomorrow? Think about it. Every day it's called reckoning, muhasabah. Ponder. What have I done for tomorrow? And subhanAllah, Allah used the word tomorrow. Tomorrow means the akhirah, the life of the year after. But why did Allah use the word tomorrow? So ulama say there are three reasons. They say tomorrow is something definite. So akhirah is definite. You tell somebody, I'll meet you tomorrow. You say, what if tomorrow doesn't come? You say, you're a mad person. Tomorrow is definitely coming. But tomorrow is definitely not definitely coming, because akhirah, qiyamah can take place today. But akhirah is a reality. So let's say tomorrow, it's so close, tomorrow, see what have you sent forward. Realize your life is very short. Second thing, ulama say, why is tomorrow? Tomorrow is definite. Tomorrow is Allah is showing how short life is. It's like the whole life of this world is like one day. And tomorrow is akhirah. So we're thinking, I've got a long life still to go through. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, ulama say, he lived for 1,050 years in this world. He was at the age of 40, he got nabuwat. He gave da'wat for 950 years. And then he lived another 60 years after his people were destroyed. So they say at the time of death, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, angel of death asked him, oh Nuh, how did you find your life? He said, I found my life, it was so short, like I entered through the door of a house, and I walked through the house, and I came out from the back door of the house. That's how life might, just like let's say. So if a person keeps in front of him tomorrow, akhirat, the life of the year after, it becomes easy for a person to do good actions. The reason why we don't, you see, in front of us is dunya, the enjoyments of this world. So Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi said, even if you don't make an effort for love of this world, it's automatically going to come in your life. You don't have to make an effort for dunya. The love of dunya will come in your life. A small child also, he loves dunya because he's in front. He said, akhirat, the life of the year after, if you don't make an effort for it, you'll never have the concern for akhirat. So as long as you don't make an effort, you start thinking about akhirat, the life of the year after, about jannah, jahannam. And really, all of us think, the past 24 hours of my life, such an important thing. Have I thought about akhirat? Have I thought about jannah? Have I thought about jahannam? Have I thought about the life in the grave? The most important things in our life, but we're not preparing for it. So Allah said, وَلْتَنْذُرْ. Everyone must ponder and think, what has he sent forward for tomorrow? Today we're worried about investments in this world. Offshore investments and inshore investments and this investment, that investment. How much of investment I got? I remember once, many, many years ago, one person told me, he said, I'm investing for my son, and I got investment for my grandson already, and I'm thinking for the next progeny. Allah Ta'ala took everything away before, while he was living. Allah Ta'ala took everything away. So we're investing for so long, but what guarantee we got till tomorrow? An intelligent person is he who invests his money in the akhirat, in the year after. We mentioned yesterday also, Allah gives us tawfiq, our buzruks have mentioned this year. One is, once a person came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and said, oh Nabi of Allah, I got no love for akhirat. So Nabi alayhi salam said, then send your money to the akhirat. Wherever your money is, that's where your heart will be. So every person must have some portion of money which a person is sending to the akhirat. If it's 5%, 10%, sahaba normal habit was 33%. Whatever money they used to earn, one third of that wealth they would send in the path of Allah, they would spend in the path of Allah. If we can't reach that level, come on to 5%, come on to 10%. But some portion of money, a person must give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Automatically, where your money is, your heart will go there. So we are spending our money. So ulama say what you must do in the beginning of the month, if you're earning, like if you're getting a salary, so if you're getting maybe £2,000 a month or £3,000 a month, then keep that some money on the side. And when a person spends, don't think your money is going to get less. Allah's promise is, yurbi sadaqat. There was one person in, I think it was in Saudi Arabia, was in the UK. So he was earning a certain amount of money and he couldn't meet his expenses. So when Alim came to the town, so the alim, he asked him, he said, make dua, man, I can't manage my expenses. I'm only earning so much, and my expenses are like double that amount. So what must I do? So he said, give sadaqah, give charity. So he said, this person is a little bit five bob short, you can say, you know. I'm running a short of money, and he's telling me I must spend money. So he went home, he told his wife, he said, wife, sir, we tried everything else, why didn't you just try it? Give some charity. So subhanAllah, give some charity in the path of Allah. That day, one person came to him and met him. He told him, you know what, I'm looking for a house. You know anybody who sells houses? I've got one friend, he sells houses. So he joined him up with that person. That person bought the house. His friend told him, hey, you help me. Here's a commission for you. He gave him some money. He gave a bit more charity in the part of Allah. That person, another person came to ask him. Then that person explained to him how must he do the housing. Eventually, he got another job. And here's Allah gave him so much of barakah in his life. So when a person spends in the part of Allah, we're not spending, Allah is giving us more. Allah's promise in the Quran, you'll be sadaqat, Allah will increase. You take interest, you'll be destroying yourself. So this is the first thing. Ittaqullah, fear Allah, do good actions. And how will you bring those good actions? Think about akhirah. Think about the life of the year after, whatever I send forward. And the second, wattaqullah, stay away from sins. How will a person stay away from sins? إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is fully aware exactly of what you are doing. If a person just keeps in mind, Allah is watching me. Our pious people say such a beautiful thing. They say, you see, many times in deen, we're very frightened. People frighten others. They say, you know, Allah is watching you. They tell the child, you know, Allah is watching you. He's going to punish you. They say, Allah is not there to punish us. Allah's mercy is far, far greater than Allah's punishment. Allah's punishment is there. But Allah's mercy is far, far greater. Allah's love for us is far, far greater. It's not that just now, you know, like the way we think, like Allah is just waiting to pounce upon us. The minute we do something wrong, Allah wants to punish us. No, Allah has extreme love for us. So Allah said, I'm watching you. How can you commit this sin? إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is watching you. Oh, my servant, don't involve yourself. I'm bestowing thousands and millions of bounties upon you. How can you break my commands? And when a person has to stay away from sin, it's a very hard on the heart of a person. It's difficult. Example, you're walking on the street, and that beautiful woman is walking in front of you. And now to control your gaze is not so easy. But a person, out of the fear of Allah, he lowers his gaze. It's difficult. If his wife is standing next to him, it might be easy to lower the gaze, because, you know, if she checks you out, you're going to be in big problems. So now then, in front of your wife, you'll act like a big buzuruk and pious person also. But when you're walking alone, or when that woman has come in the shop now and she's talking to you nicely, and you're also flirting with her with extra, because the way she's speaking to you, so now you're getting that enjoyment also, and you're feeling nice, and now you're giving another extra goods and this goods, and you're showing her extra things. Why are you doing it? فَلِلْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرَةٌ وَلَوْ أَلْقَىٰ مَعَاذِيرَهُ. Every person has got insight over his own soul. Even though he'll put forward excuses and he'll act, I'm very pious. But he himself knows. Maybe his wife doesn't know. Maybe nobody. Allah knows. And he himself knows. So he's watching himself. So a person now thinks, Allah is watching me. Allah is watching the sacrifice I'm making. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَىٰ. Don't you know Allah is watching you? Allah knows the qurbani and sacrifice you are making. And Allah is not such. Ulama say that Allah is not such that a person is making sacrifice for the pleasure of Allah, and Allah will make a person go in problems. He might go through some examination and test in his life. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he knew Allah was watching me. He didn't commit guna and zina and sin. He had the opportunity full, but he abstained from it. Allah Ta'ala gave him, they say he ran, the Zulaikha came and she was around him and she had given him herself, and she locked all the doors. And Yusuf alayhi salam said, no, 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 I have to run through these doors. And Yusuf alayhi salam runs through the door to save himself from sin. Allah opened up, eventually he had to go to jail. He spent time in jail. But Allah opened up the doors of Egypt for him. He ran through one door, Allah opened up the doors. He went into jail for the pleasure of Allah. Allah said after that, يَتَبَوَّأُ مِنَ حَيْثُ يَشَاءُ. He was living in a small cell for the pleasure of Allah. Allah says, now in the whole of Egypt, you can build houses wherever you want to. I'll give you everything. And Allah said, وَلَأَجْرُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يُتَّقُونَ. Those who got iman and taqwa, who fear Allah, who stay away from sins, I'm going to give them in this world also. But what they got in the year after is far, far greater. But this is an examination we're going through life. So stay away from sin. Do good actions and stay away from this sin. This is called taqwa. How will you do good actions? Think about akhirat, the life of the year after. This will create shock and desire in you. And how you'll stay away from sins? You have to make an effort to bring Allah in your heart, that Allah is watching me at every moment. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Ulama say, like, you know, in the olden days, the people, the youngsters won't know, but you used to get these watches. You wind the watch for 1 minute in the morning, and then 24 hours the watch works. So you just wind it for a while. So they say, make a little bit of dhikr of Allah Ta'ala in the morning. Remember Allah. Alam ya'alam. Ponder 1 minute. Alam ya'alam. Don't you know Allah is watching you? Don't you know Allah is watching you? Write it somewhere. So now you've already wind your watch. For 24 hours it'll help you. The next 24 hours you'll forget again, you need to wind your watch again. Or make some dhikr of Allah Ta'ala daily. The dhikr is to remind a person. And then finally Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Don't be like those people who forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah made them forget themselves. When you forget Allah, you forget the commands of Allah, you break the commands of Allah. And today to commit sin has become so easy. To break the commands of Allah has become so easy. And what is the reason we've forgotten Allah? We've forgotten we have to stand before Allah. We've forgotten the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves us and Allah wants us to benefit. And shaitan wants to destroy us. And in every sin, there is great harm for a person. But we forgot Allah. Allah makes you forget yourself, the benefit of yourself. Example, you're involved, for example, in pornography. So you're thinking, I'm getting enjoyment. But the destruction which is coming to you, is coming to your family, coming to your children. The whole family is destroyed. So you forgot Allah, Allah made you forget yourself. You can't see the benefit. You forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not performing salat, you're destroying yourself. But in whatever way a person, Allah said, those who forgot Allah, he made them forget themselves. Ulaika humul fasiqun. They are the sinners, the open sinners. La yastawi ashabun nari wa ashabul jannah. The people of Jahannam and the people of Jannat can never be equal. Ashabul Jannati humul faizun. The people of Jannah, they are the ones successful. Not only in the year after. The people of Jannah, doing the actions of the people of Jannah. They say Jahannam is fire, is problems, difficulties. And that's the headquarters. And all of sins in this world are the branches of Jahannam. And Jannah is the headquarters, and all good actions is that's the headquarters, the branches of good actions is in this world. So if a person is not in Jahannam, but he's on the branches of Jahannam, the problem is in Jahannam, لا يموت فيها ولا يحيى, there's no happiness, you don't love, you don't die in Jahannam. You're in parashani and in worries all the time. You'll be in parashani and worries all the time. And those people who are holding on the branches of Jannah, they are in great enjoyment. Enjoyment, maybe outwardly they're going through some difficulties and problems, but in the heart Allah will make them happy. Ulama have mentioned on a Ajib point, they say when Dajjal will come out, he will show certain people Jannah. And they say that this is the lifestyle, you must jump in this lifestyle. Whoever will jump in the Jannah, they will find Jahannam there. And he will show certain people Jahannam, difficulty, problems. And whoever jumps in that lifestyle will find Jannah in there. So today we are shown the television, you got this lifestyle here, the kuffar lifestyle, you fulfill your desires, you got Jannah, you're going to enjoy yourself. Whoever goes in that lifestyle, he finds Jahannam, he finds problems in his life. And we got the Quran and Sunnah, the lifestyle of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Outwardly, shaitan tells people, hey, it's very hard, you go with that life, you're going to be pious, you read namaz, what a boring life you're going to live. You look after your gazes, your wife is in hijab, she stays in the house, what a boring life. You have to go out, you have to be outgoing, you must go to this place and that place, otherwise you're going to live a very boring life. But whoever will jump in that life, Allah will give them Jannah in this world. Allah said, people of Jannah and Jahannam can never be equal. People of Jannah are the successful people. Allah grant myself and all of us tawfiq. Save us from the traps of shaitan, from the evils of shaitan, and bring taqwa within our lives. Obey the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Stay away from guna and sin. Two simple solutions I have given, how the Quran is mentioning it. Ponder over think about tomorrow. Think about akhirat. And inna Allah khabirun bima ta'amalun. Get Allah. All the time, keep in our mind. That I'm not doing this action, I'm being watched. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Allah grant myself and all of us tawfiq. And in the beginning we spoke on one wazifa, that A'udhu billahi samil alim minash shaitanir rajim. Three times you read it in the morning and evening. And then huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illa huwa alimul ghaibi wa shahada wa rahmanur rahim. 70,000 angels will make dua for you from the morning till the evening. And if you read in the evening, from the evening till the morning, you're getting your protection. And if you pass away in that day, you will pass away as a martyr. Allah grant myself and all of us tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين مع الإيمان. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من همزات الشياطين وأعوذ بك ربي أن يحضرون. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والفعل والعمل والنية والهدي إنك على كل شيء قدير. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا وأهلنا ومن الماء البارد. اللهم اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم فرج عن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم انصر المظلومين المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان, خصوصا في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي السودان وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين. ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله, الحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان الله وبحمده, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك, نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, الحمد لله. جزاكم الله خير.